Hey there, welcome to Lie Number 54. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're addressing who you once were is who you will always be. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. It's December 30th at the time of this recording, and I was asking the Father, hey, like, what should I talk about to end the year with? And he kind of reminded me, well, my story. I don't know if you know my story or how I got here or why I'm even on this podcast. So I wanted to take you back to the beginning. I wanted to share how I was raised, where I grew up. I wanted to talk about the really messy middle, how I, you know, found a spiritual father and why I'm here now and what I'm doing. And I wanted to take you through this journey of who I once was to remind you that it's not who you always be. So to do this, I wanted to start from the beginning. I pretty much think that I came out of my mother's womb in trauma. My mom and dad often fought a lot, and my dad was physically abusive, and I often saw it all growing up, him with my mother and the things that he did to her. And my mother was more of the emotional side, the emotional abuse. And, you know, looking back, of course, I have 20/20 hindsight, and there's a lot of compassion and empathy of knowing that they were acting out on their own pain and their own things that they were dealing with. And my brother and I kind of just got the repercussion of their own pain. And we do that, right? We're just messy people and we have pain, and it's really easy for us to spread that pain, right? So I grew up, right, in this childhood where I just saw it all the time. I saw the abuse. I saw, you know, what I thought love was supposed to look like. And at a very young age, I started turning to men to kind of help me along. I thought if I found somebody that would love me or just take care of me, then I would start to feel better about myself. You know, at the age of 12, I lost my virginity. I had sex. And when you're that young, you don't really know what it is that you're searching for. You don't really know what it is that you're looking for. You just know that you want to have a certain feeling. You know, I can't remember ever saying to myself at the age of 12, like, oh, you just, you know, you don't feel good enough and you're just doing this because you want loved. I mean, absolutely not. You do not know. I mean, my brain wasn't even developed at that point. I didn't have anybody speaking into my life. I didn't have a lot of family. As years passed, you know, high school is now really in, and, you know, trying to find my way through high school. And I just continued to turn to guys for that kind of comfort. And I am just so thankful that the Lord's protection and covering over me, He brought some amazing mothers and fathers into my life of the men that I dated for a lot longer than I should have. But I hated confrontation because, man, that just meant a bunch of different things. And I'm just so thankful for those seasons of just the women and, like I said, the mothers and fathers that would allow me to shower at their house, right? You know, I grew up extremely poor, and I, you know, grew up in a trailer park to start, and then we moved into another trailer. And I'm not here to say that trailer parks are bad or trailers are bad at all, but we definitely didn't have any money. And, you know, we got food from the food bank. There wasn't Christmases. I don't really remember ever decorating many trees or getting ornaments or being excited about Christmas. I don't really have those memories at all. And I mean, they're very, very far few in between. So the Lord would use these mothers and fathers of the men that I would dated to kind of speak, I want to say, more reality, because you only know what you know. And it's not until you get out of something that you don't know that you're able to get a different perspective and opinion. And I remember one, you know, boyfriend at the time in particular, his parents, man, they would let me shower at their house, and they weren't really for it. I mean, of course, I would sleep in a different bedroom and everything like that. And, you know, when I was talking about growing up poor, we would go months typically without heat or water, you know, hot water. I would have to wash my hair in the freezing cold sink. of, you know, and I remember just being in my bedroom with the heater in my bedroom and a million blankets. So I know the no heat, the definitely no food. We used to eat off of just bread, and bread was bread and toast is what I would eat. And, you know, it was just normal. I didn't really think that I was lacking anything. I didn't know I was missing out on anything until, like I said, until you get older. And to go back to the story of my boyfriend's parents, you know, they would let me shower because we didn't have hot water at that time. And this was all throughout high school, that it would come in and out of just, you know, when would we have food, and would I have lunch today, and how would I do this? And so I compensated all of that at home with, I wanted to be popular. I was striving to just be something in high school. I grew up in a very small town. My graduating class was 66. So, you know, I grew up in the country and I loved growing up in the country. I am a total tomboy, right? I mean, I love four-wheelers. I love mud. I love being outside, climbing trees, like all of it. I grew up like that and I was always surrounded by boys. I had a brother and our neighbors were boys. And I just related to them more, I guess you could say. And as things continued to progress, you know, these other mothers and fathers would speak and say, you know, this isn't normal. This isn't right. That's not supposed to be happening. And it began this journey of questioning for me. And at this time, I was about 16, 17, and I would help work for my boyfriend's parents, and they were redoing their yard at the time, and I would help rake their yard and they would pay me. And then finally I got my first job at 16. And then I started paying for everything myself that really I could at that point in my life. And I would, you know, buy my own shampoo and soap and, you know, lunches at school. And I began to then start to have a body image. I don't know if you remember the 100 calorie packs. I used to live off those things. I didn't really know or understand at the time calories. I just, you know, in 2006, it was calories in, calories out. It wasn't anything that we know it to be today. And I think for me, I started to then develop this awareness of my body. And again, that was around 16 or 17. So not only do I have men, right, that I'm turning to, now I begin this awareness of my body. And as, you know, high school progressed, you know, junior, senior year, that desire to be popular and to be seen and to be known was pretty strong. At 18, I graduated high school and my parents got a divorce. After the divorce, I moved in with my mom and my brother into a two-bedroom small apartment. And it was obvious that my mother and I just could not see eye to eye, and we just did not get along at all. Just years of pain and trauma, I think, between both of us and us just not understanding each other at all, period. Like there was no compassion on either side to understand. And that led us to me moving out and moving in with my best friend at the time. So I was homeless there for a little while. And, you know, my brother, I turned to men and popularity and body image, and my brother had turned into somebody that, you know, did drugs and drank alcohol. So he went a little bit different direction than I did. And now about 19 or 20, and I had to move out of my best friend's house and I moved in with my cousin. So I was living in the basement with my cousin, her four daughters or four children, and their dog, and her husband, of course. And I just remember showing up, going to work every single day. I finally got my license at 18 after I had graduated. And, you know, we didn't have money for driving school. And my best friend's uncle took me driving to learn about driving. My parents never taught me how to drive. And so I, you know, I'm 18, finally get my license. I'm finally able to drive myself to work. My first car costed me $700. And it was one of my favorite cars to this day. Little Plymouth Acclaim. She was white and she was great. And, you know, I would drive myself back and forth to work. And my cousin and I finally started to get closer because I really wasn't allowed to necessarily have family unless if it was one-sided, agreed with. Because I was always taught that one side didn't really care about me or love me and the other side did. And of course, it's biased opinion. And when you're growing up, you just kind of listen to what your parents say and you do what they say because you don't know the other side, right? So we started to become closer and she had asked me. Now, I'm about this time after living with her for a little while. I'm around 21, 22. I can't remember the age. I often say 22, but I was right around that age and we were out for a walk and I remember her telling me and just saying, you know, Jess, I think it's time for you to get a house. And I was like, okay, right. Okay. Like, you know, I was still dealing with a lot of hurt and pain. And, you know, my father and I, we were not reconciled at this point. My mother and I definitely were not reconciled at this point. And I was just an angry, bitter, resentful 22-year-old. So finally, we started looking for houses. I think it was actually, I was younger than that because we looked for a house for about a year. I was really picky. And I gave it a break. And that's when I think I came back at 22 and bought a house. Walked into the house, finally found it. I was like, this is it. Moved in, bought my first house at 22. And it was the same year I accepted Jesus as my savior. And it was the same year that I started my fitness business and partnering with Beachbody. So it's been more than 10 years since I have been partnering with Beachbody and that I've known Christ. And it's been a wild journey. But at 22 and after being saved and having my own house, my life did not completely change. I was still that bitter, resentful, angry girl. I was working full-time at Joann Fabrics. So many amazing memories. And God taught me so much in that journey. I started there when I was 16. And I was able to quickly, you know, go from a regular employee to a key holder to management to eventually working one under my boss at the time. And, you know, we had just great conversation back and forth often. And one of the district managers came in and he asked me, you know, if I wanted to lead a store at the age of 24. And I knew that wasn't where God had called me. I, you know, even though I was working at Joann Fabrics, I was working three jobs total. So in the summer, I was working at a golf pro shop, you know, vacuuming and selling t-shirts. Then I was working at Sharon Speedway, just doing the vending. So there was many times where I get the hustle, right? I get that need to feel like if you don't do it, nobody will. So there I was, this 22, 23, 24-year-old. At the age of 4, after working many jobs and many hours, you know, 6 days a week, just ton of hours and, you know, working my part-time job, my part-time passion project, I guess you could say, of partnering with Beachbody, I was able to leave my full-time job and be working from home at 24 full-time with Beachbody. And at that point, I then, you know, about a year later or so, found a business mentor. And inside of this mastermind of this business mentor I had is when I met my spiritual father. Now, he didn't become my spiritual father right away, but it was through many, many months of counseling. He was the mindset person of the mastermind and she was the business authority. And we would meet with them each on the call every month. And we would work through so many things emotionally and mentally. And that was the first time at around 24, 25 that I actually began to challenge what it was that I was thinking and how I was thinking it and why I felt like I had to hustle 24/7 and why I was burned out and why I was exhausted. You know, when I bought my house, I also built a studio in my basement. I was teaching fitness classes. So many different things that I was doing. I was teaching fitness classes in my basement. I was personal training in my basement. I was teaching at a local gym and I was also teaching at a studio. So again, more jobs. I wanted to be able to say, look at me, I'm doing all of these things. I wanted somebody to be proud of me. I wanted all the titles. I wanted the accolades. I tried going to college twice and I failed twice. So here I am with my spiritual father, now my spiritual father, and I'm being challenged in every direction. Why do I think that? Why am I holding on to that? What about forgiveness, right? I mean, come on now. Things that scripture is very clear on, but that my heart just did not want to deal with. I am 33 at the time of this recording, and I worked with my spiritual father for about five years, you know, up until roughly I met my husband. And now we're just in a different relationship with each other, my spiritual father and I. But during that process, I had a lot of terrible relationships. You know, I went through a year of hell, and it's in my book, Know Your Worth. And to really start my journey would be a great place, would be my book, Know Your Worth. But I wrote this chapter, A Year from Hell. Didn't know I was going to be a writer. I mean, I hated high school. I hated reading. I hated doing homework. I just was not a very good student. And I think that's why I did not like college as much. I just was not a very good student of reading and studying and all of these things. Now, that could just be lack of discipline, of course, but there's also these skills and gifts and understanding how I operate and how I study and how I learn that I just wasn't developed in nor taught. That season was really when I began to reframe my pain. What did that look like? You know, that year from hell was my breaking point. It was the year right before I met my husband. And like I said, I didn't know I was going to be a writer then. I just was writing out these words. And I just remember thinking, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a book. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't take one writing class. I didn't take one editing class. I didn't nothing. I just researched the heck out of it. And Google was my best friend. At that time, I didn't have any author friends. I didn't really know anybody that was writing a book that could really, I could come alongside or ask questions. I just did the work, and I didn't know what it was going to look like. My spiritual father, you know, and I also recorded two episodes with him, and I'll make sure I link those below if you want to hear more of my journey from his perspective, because he gives a completely different side of what I was experiencing, talking about the brain, talking about trauma, my thought process. You might be interested to hear how I actually started to grow and to change. And that will be really the episodes. It's a two-part series of where you really want to go and listen to the process of becoming and undoing. Then I met my husband, and I really began to understand just how, I guess the word I want to say is independent I was. When you live by yourself in a house for so long, you don't really know that you're Little Miss Independent because you have nobody to kind of ruffle the feathers of your independence. I had lived with a guy every year. Okay, let me rephrase this. I lived with three different guys for 2 years each at different times. So there were 6 years of my life that I lived with a guy. And then I was single that year from hell and living by myself and creating these new rhythms and routines. And that's when I met my husband. And my husband and I didn't move in together until after we were married. We didn't have sex until after we were married. And literally, it was this rebirth of who I was. And of course, there's a lot of different stories in between of dating a sociopath and what that meant and being reborn in my purity and breaking that promise with God. And what did that look like to be reborn even after I declared purity? And it was like redemption times three, which is just the kindness of the Father. After meeting my husband, like I said, we got married, moved in together, and I realized my Little Miss Independent attitude was probably not going to work. I wrote two more books in the meantime. I wrote A Worthy Wife, which is a lot about just how to prepare your heart and your home for marriage. Whether you're married or single, it's a great book that I was just really learning about boundaries, communication, how to understand each other better. And then I wrote Own Your Worth, and that was after we were married, learning a lot about my own sin in my heart and the things that I had to work through. My husband and I have been together for 6 years and married for four at the time of this recording. We met on eHarmony. And a lot of that journey and story is inside of my book, A Worthy Wife, and at the end of Know Your Worth. After being with my husband for a little while, I realized, like I said, my own sin habits. I hated watching him rest. He was good at resting, but he's good at working and really good at working. And we're very much both entrepreneurs in our hearts. And being able to watch him rest really bothered me because I couldn't. I'm the type that just everything has to be done right now. It needs to get done. And if it doesn't, who's going to do it? And I just had this like self-righteousness, this attitude, this bitterness. And again, I had to keep working all this stuff out because a lot of what I carried with me throughout my 20s and into now my 30s still stemmed from that 12-year-old girl that felt lonely and left out. The past couple of years, I would say the last 2.5 years, I've really began to dig into what does it mean to be, you know, a spirit, to have a soul, and to live in a body. Completely changed how I do fitness, definitely in the last 5 years, how I talk about fitness, how I talk about health, but more in the last 2.5 years is really this big transformation of my walk with God, of what does it look like? What does he mean to me? Challenging the thoughts that I have about myself, about what other people say, not letting my feelings become who I am. And trust me, I am not perfect, but I've been putting into practice how to acknowledge what I feel and hold them in tension. And that is really why I created this podcast. Here's coming to an end and to a close of a quick 30 minutes of my story to say that who I once was, that little girl, that scared girl, the worried girl, the afraid girl, was somebody who acted out of her pain and her emotion. You know, people would say, you know, call me a slut in high school. They would say terrible things. And these names were always spoken over me. Jess, you're never going to make it. You just wait until you get older. You're going to see. You're not going to be able to do it. And you're going to have to strive and work for every single thing in your life. But the kingdom way isn't like that, is it? And who I once was is obviously who I'm not now. And I wanted this to encourage you that no matter if you had a great, great upbringing, right? There are probably still things that you do. Maybe it's you try to prove to your parents that you are smart, that you're good enough, and you're afraid to let them down. You're afraid to feel like a failure in front of them. Or it is that, you know, you grew up in a place where you felt poverty or you felt like a victim mindset or that you didn't grow up with a kind father or a loving mother. Either side, there's always this lie that you will always be this person you are right now. And, you know, scripture tells us that our outer man is dying, right, day by day, but our inner man is being renewed every day. If our inner man is being renewed, there is no way that we can ever be the same, ever. You will never be the same as you are in this moment. That's good news, and that's the truth. I created this podcast, as I was saying, because I kept writing this sentence over and over again. Jess, this is what you feel, but what's the truth? I got sick of feeling not good enough and worthy and just beat down and feeling like a victim. And so I had to just keep asking myself, why? Why do I feel this way? What is the truth? Tell me the truth, God. I want the truth. And here we are. The podcast is titled, What's the Truth? I want to challenge the way that you think because I know it will change the way you live. I don't just say these things to you because, you know, I just want you to feel good. I say them because I do them every single day. Every single day, I have to challenge what I'm thinking so that I can change the way I live in the future. Because every seed that you plant now will reap some kind of harvest in the future. Your calling does not know a pandemic. It doesn't. God's will does not know a pandemic. He's looking at what are you doing with what you have right now, period. I'm challenging myself with that as well. We're going into a new year, 2021, and I want you to reflect on your story, who you once were and who you are now. What has changed? How have you changed? See, the problem with our world and society is that it's so quick, right? Fast results. Give me a quick transaction. I want my food really fast. I want you to text me back really fast. But how many of us know, right, that change, healing, it does not come with a quick transaction. But if we're willing to be kind to ourselves and look back with compassion to reframe our pain, to change our brain, we can see just how far we've come and that who you once were isn't who you are today. We often think that we are, But most of the time, it's that little girl maybe inside of you that keeps trying to show her head, right, and raise her hand. And maybe that's just, you know, God saying that there's pain that still needs to be revealed. And he can only heal what we reveal to him. And that's just the truth. I wanted to share my story as the last episode of the year, as we move into a new year, to say, really, that I'm with you, that I'm for you, that God takes nobodies and turns them into somebodies, that your past isn't a mistake. It doesn't matter how many times you mess up, how many times you go back to being pure. Redemption is always his name. Healing is always his name. Your sin doesn't separate you from God. Nothing can separate you from God's love. I don't want you to just run ahead this year. I don't want you to just be like, I want to forget 2020. No, I want you to think about how you've transformed this year. It's come with many obstacles and so many changes for all of us, but we can see the good in the bad. I did a whole episode on this. Is God in the bad? And I'll link that in the show notes below. But if he promises to never leave us nor forsake us, that means that he's with us in the bad as well. Doesn't mean he's causing it, but it does mean that he's with us. So as we wrap up 2020, I want you to remember that this is a lie, that who you once were is who you will always be. The truth is, who you once were only sets you up for who God is calling you to be. Thank you for being here with me this entire year, or thank you for just, maybe this is your first episode. Either way, I just want to thank you for being on this journey with me, and I'm so excited to see what God does with another year of the podcast. If you haven't left a rating or review this year, I would love for you just to take a moment to open up your iTunes app, to search in the search column, What's the Truth, to scroll down and hit rating and review. I'd love to know your favorite takeaway this year or just what God is teaching you. It helps to get the podcast known. It helps other people to hear the truth. So let me be the first to say, Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you soon. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.